Our book today will be out of Romans 10, 14, and 15. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see each and every one of you. We're so thankful for the opportunities that we have. We're so glad that you're here. We're encouraged that you're here. And certainly we're thankful for all those who have already served. We're thankful for our teachers. We're thankful for the song reading. We're thankful for the prayer, the scripture reading, all the help with all the things that need to be done all the time. The work continues. This morning we're going to be talking about the gospel of peace. And there in our reading in Romans chapter 10, we have a reference to the gospel of peace. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. I'd like to think about us to think about the gospel of peace for a few minutes. Think about in relation to the message that we have, the message that is preached, and the peace which it can bring. And thinking about that, I think that there's sometimes a misunderstanding when it comes to the gospel of peace. And I think that Jesus tries to address that throughout his ministry on multiple occasions. So the first question I'd like to lead with is, what peace are you seeking? What peace are you seeking? You know, we see a reference to the gospel of peace. Certainly we think about peace in our lives. And as we seek peace as Christians in multiple areas of our lives, peace with our brothers and sisters in Christ, peace with the world, peace with our community, peace with our government, as we think about these things, I think that certainly peace should be an objective of the Christian life. However, there's a peace that is above all other peace. And I think Jesus tries to make that clear to us. What type of peace are you seeking? You know, throughout people's lives, I think people try to seek peace. We don't like chaos. We don't like a lot of things going crazy, going astray, all kinds of things going on. But what kind of peace are you pursuing? Certainly, we should pursue peace with our brothers and sisters in Christ. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 19, it says, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and things by which one may edify one another. Certainly, we should be seeking peace with our brothers and sisters in Christ. I think even to the best we can, we should try to seek peace with our enemies. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 7, it says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Now, I don't think that always can be achieved, but I think certainly the Christian life lends itself to a more peaceful life, a more peaceful existence. Will it always be achieved? Not always. And I think that's why in Romans chapter 12 and verse 18 it says, if it is possible, as much depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Certainly peace is something that we seek. Peace is something that we're after. But there is a peace that is, I believe, to be pursued above all other peace. I think when people think about peace a lot of times, they think about like world peace. You know, no more war, no more arguments, no more disputes. And I ask you this morning, is that the peace that you seek? Because I really think that that's not necessarily the peace that Jesus was bringing. Look at Luke chapter 12, verses 51 and 52. What peace was Jesus trying to bring? It's not the peace that many times comes to individuals' minds. When we think about peace, usually we think of world peace. No more arguments, no more strife, no more war, no more divisions, no more strife. Is that really the peace that Jesus was after? In Luke chapter 12, verses 51 and 52, it says, do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. For from now on, 5 in one household will be divided. 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. Wait. The Bible's talking about a gospel of peace. The Bible mentions peace on many occasions. The question is, what peace are you seeking? Because Jesus just told you right there, if you thought I was coming to bring earthly peace, you might have been mistaken. Isn't that what he's saying there in Luke chapter 12? Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? That peace that so many times comes to our mind. The peace that we think about, a physical peace. In terms of war, in terms of strife, in terms of all these things. If that's not the peace that Jesus is bringing, a physical peace, then what is the peace that Jesus is bringing? Perhaps he's bringing more of a spiritual peace. I'm not saying that if we live the Christian life, I really hope that it leads to physical peace. I hope it leads to many physical pieces in our relationships, in our society, in our world. And I think that certainly the gospel has that potential. But really, I don't think that was the peace that Jesus was trying to bring. It was not number one on his agenda. It was not his number one objective. Really, when I think about the gospel peace, and I think about the peace that Jesus brings, he's talking about a spiritual peace. And the question is that the peace that you're seeking? Is that the peace that you desire? Really, what we're talking about is peace with God. Wasn't that Jesus' primary concern when he was talking about peace? Certainly, peace with our brothers and sisters in Christ is what I would say a byproduct. Certainly, peace with people in the world is a byproduct. As we live the Christian life, it leads to a more peaceful lifestyle. But was that the peace that Jesus was really after initially? He was after his spiritual peace. A peace with God. And that's the peace that we have to ask ourselves that we have. Do you have a peace with God? It's not necessarily that physical peace that people think about so often. It's that spiritual peace. If we follow Christ, it actually leads to division. And isn't that what he's trying to point out in Luke chapter 12? If he's bringing a peace, what kind of peace is he bringing? He's bringing a spiritual peace, that we can have peace with God on high, that we can have peace with God in heaven, and having peace with God in heaven does not necessarily mean that we will always have a peaceful physical life. Really, I would say peace with God is really closely connected to the forgiveness of sins. How can we have peace with God when we have committed crimes against God? When we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. When we commit lawlessness, when we commit sin, how can we have peace with God on high when we have broken those things which he has told us not to do? How can we have peace? Well, Jesus came to bring us that peace, the forgiveness of sin. The question goes out to you again, what peace are you seeking? Are you seeking a physical peace, or are you seeking more of a spiritual peace, a peace with God? The most important peace that we can have in our lives, is that the peace that you're seeking? A peace of reconciliation. A peace that we have committed some wrong against God, and we want to be reconciled. We want to be brought back together. We want to be in a good relationship with God. We want reconciliation. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How can peace with God be achieved? Only by Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no peace with God without Jesus Christ. There is no peace with God without remission of sins, the forgiveness of sins. And we look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. It says, much more then, having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. There's only one way we can have peace with God. We need Jesus Christ, we need his blood. Are you seeking the peace which God provides? The peace that God sent his Son so we could have. A peace with God. You know, a peace with God is so powerful. Because if you have peace with God, it really should affect all other areas of your life. If you are right in the sight of God, if your sins have been forgiven, If you're walking in the light, if He is in the light, that should affect the way that you walk. It should affect the way you talk. It should affect your conduct. It should affect the way that you treat others. It should affect every aspect of your life. If you have peace with God, when Jesus came, He said, I didn't come to bring the peace that you expected. I came so that you could have peace with God, that my sacrifice would offer the opportunity for you to be redeemed, for you to have a relationship that can be brought back together, that can be mended. Are you seeking physical peace or spiritual peace? In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of the Bible is a powerful peace. A peace with God can affect all aspects of your life. It's a special thing. And it's a thing that I think many times the world and Satan tries to snatch. If I am right with God, what can be done to us? You know, I think Paul almost says that on multiple occasions. He says, look at this laundry list of all the things that have happened to me. You know why I'm okay? Because I'm okay with God. I have a peace with God, and because I have a peace with God, I know my relationship is good with God. That affects the other areas of my life. Are you seeking a spiritual peace, or are you seeking a physical peace? Because let me tell you something, I hope it's not a surprise, but physical peace is not what God promises when we look at Luke chapter 12. He says, you thought I might bring a physical peace. You thought I might end all wars. You might fight. And I think that the gospel has that potential, but we know that many men, many individuals are going to reject the gospel. I think it has that potential, but we fall short. So we think about what peace are you seeking? Are you seeking a spiritual peace, or are you seeking a physical peace? Now I want to think about the source of peace, which we've already referenced a couple of times, but I think we really need to pound it home, is how in the world can we have peace with God on high, and it's only by Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21, it starts to talk about that idea of peace. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21, it says, now may the God of peace, who brought you up, our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, in whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Where can we have peace with God? Well, it originates with God. God is the source of peace. It says, may the God of peace. But you know what the God of peace did? He sent the Prince of Peace to work on our behalf. Because we've all committed a crime, we've all sinned, we've all fallen short of the glory of God, we want peace with God. God is the God of peace. But since we have strained our relationship, He really sends the Prince of Peace, really Jesus Christ, to come and intervene on our behalf. So He can reconcile the relationship. Do we understand that that's where reconciliation is? In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, for He Himself is our peace. God is peace, but also we look at Jesus Christ and His role in the path to reconciliation, but it says, for He Himself is our peace. Jesus Christ is our peace. Are you leaving Him out of your life? Because if you leave Jesus out of your life, you cannot have peace. You cannot have peace with God, and certainly you're not going to have peace as you go throughout this life. If you leave God out of the equation, because we need reconciliation, we have committed a crime, we have harmed our relationship with God, and we need it to be made well. And there's only one way, Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20, it kind of says that pretty directly. It says, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on the earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross. How did Jesus make peace for us? How did God say, I'm going to fix this relationship? I know you have wronged God again and again and again. How am I going to make this right? Jesus went to the cross for us. The price of reconciliation, the price of being redeemed, the price of us being forgiven of our sins, the price of us being able to have peace with God is connected to the blood of Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20, it says, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on the earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Reconciliation has a high cost when it comes to our spiritual lives. It was not purchased by some small token. It was purchased by the blood of Christ. The only way we can have this relationship repaired is through the blood of Christ. The only way we can have peace with God is through the blood of Christ. And yet how many people many times run away from the blood of Christ? Run away from the way that they can have peace with God. In John chapter 1 and verse 29, I like what's said there by John. It says, the next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. What is he talking about? Here comes Jesus Christ, our chance at reconciliation, our chance to be redeemed, our chance of forgiveness of sin. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God that gives the chance to have peace with God. What a chance that is. If that chance and that opportunity doesn't put joy in your heart, I don't know what will. The chance to make a relationship right when all things were wrong. A chance to go back and do things over again, as we should, to the best of our ability. A high, high cost was paid so that we could have peace with God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, it says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. What's the Bible say? Our peace was not purchased with gold, it was not purchased with silver. Sometimes that's how people try to make peace, right? Sometimes Rome, when they came in and they would take over a group of people, they'd say, hey, we're going to keep attacking you unless you do what? You give us tribute. If you keep giving us tribute, we're not going to attack you, we're not going to hurt you, we're not going to pursue you, but you got to keep up your tribute. You got to keep giving us these things. How is our relationship, how is it maintained? It's maintained through the blood of Jesus Christ. What a powerful and beautiful thing it is, the Lamb of God without blemish and spot. The only way you can have peace with God is through Jesus Christ and His sacrifice and the forgiveness of sin. And as we go back to our reading, and we see that quotation written in times of old, it says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings and good things. The gospel of peace. The chance for us to be saved. The chance for us to be reconciled. The chance for our sins to be forgiven. The chance to have peace with God. What beautiful news that is. The gospel of peace is not about a physical peace. It is about a spiritual peace. And you understand what a blessing it is to have the spiritual peace which the Bible speaks of. The chance to be saved. The chance to have remission of sins. The chance to be at peace with God. What a blessing. If you can't be joyous about that, I need to tell you, I have nothing else for you. Because that's what this book is all about. The chance to have peace with God. The chance to be saved. The chance to be redeemed. The chance to be reconciled. The chance to be saved. That's what the book is all about. And we have a relationship with God that has been strained because of our conduct, because of us falling short, by not doing those things which God has asked us to do. We need somebody to come in on our behalf. It's a debt that we cannot pay. And Jesus comes in and says, I'll pay the debt. I'll do what needs to be done so peace can be accomplished. The gospel of peace tells people about reconciliation, peace, and the remission of sin. There's no better person to represent. There's no other person that really could represent but the Son of God. We think about the scripture as it talks about Jesus Christ, we really understand that He is the one standing between us and God in many respects. It's like we're in a courtroom and we've committed a crime and they say, Kyle, were you speeding? I'm like, yeah, I was speeding. I was speeding. I did commit that crime. And who's going to step in on my behalf? I've committed a crime. There's no way for me to get out of it. I should have to pay the fine. Who's going to come in? Who's going to intervene? Well, in terms of God being our judge, and we're in the courtroom committing a crime, Jesus comes in, and He says, I'll pay the fine. A fine that we could not pay. And because He does that for us, all throughout our lives, He is our go-between between God. Because trust, when we think about our relationship with God, it's really strained without Jesus there. If you take Jesus out, what a relationship we have with God, a relationship where we are guilty, a relationship where His wrath can come upon us. What an opportunity we have to have peace with God through Jesus Christ. And that's why many places in Scripture it reference Jesus as our mediator. You don't want to have a relationship right now with God without Jesus Christ. Not without Jesus. I don't want to stand before the judge without Jesus close by. I don't want to stand before God without Jesus by my side. I don't want to stand before God without the blood of Jesus Christ. He is our mediator, as the Bible says. He is our go-between in so many things. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 it says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men." There's only one way you can have peace with God. It's through Jesus Christ. It says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ." In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15, it gives us a similar idea. It says, "And for this reason, He is the mediator of the new covenant." It's really all about Jesus. Isn't that what the Bible's all about? What's so special about Jesus? If He took on our crime, He took on our fine, and says, "I know that they're guilty, but I'll take it on so they can have a relationship with God. So that they can have peace with God." What a special thing that Jesus has done on our behalf. It's all about Jesus. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And certainly we should take God up on the opportunity of Him paying our fines so that we can have peace with God. That He will step in and take the punishment of our crime when He shouldn't. How thankful we are for the peace which God provides. The peace that's provided to us through the blood of Jesus Christ. When you have this understanding of the peace which God has allowed us to have an opportunity to and access to, when you have that peace, when you know you've done what you need to do to be in a right relationship with God so that you can be forgiven of your sins, you can really walk a little different. You can really talk a little different. Your conduct is a little bit different. Why? Because you have peace with God. You understand that you have that peace as a Christian. And this peace should be a powerful driving force in your life. We see this throughout Scripture. We see it throughout parables. We understand the idea and the connection is how can we be forgiven of so much? How can we be so richly and bountifully blessed? How can we be in a relationship where we're at peace with God? And yet we find ourselves worrying about so many other things that don't matter. The gospel of peace is powerful. And I can tell you, our world probably would do a little bit better if we had a little bit more of the gospel of peace and a little less of the world everywhere. We understand the world is everywhere. We know it's sprinkled everywhere. But how powerful the gospel of peace is to bring peace into our lives. The hope of eternal life. The relationship rekindled and brought back together through the blood of Jesus Christ. What a powerful thing that is. You know that there's a place of peace? We talked about the peace that we're seeking. We talked about the source of peace, but now we want to talk about the place of peace. Do you understand that there is a place that's connected with the remission of sin? It's the church. In Ephesians chapter 5, it talks about the marriage relationship. It talks about the husband and the wife. And in that context, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, the Bible says, He's the Savior of the body. Jesus is the Savior of the body. Who is Jesus coming to save? Who is Jesus coming to represent? Well, He came to save and represent everybody, but the people He's going to be representing are going to be those that have been added to the Lord's church. Those who have been baptized for remission of sins, and have been added to the Lord's church. He is the Savior of the body. Well, how are you saying that the body is the church? Well, you go to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, and it says, He put Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body. The body and the church are the same thing. So when He says in Ephesians 5 and 23, and He says, "I'm the Savior of the body," He says, "I'm the Savior of the church." Who is Jesus going to represent on Judgment Day? Those who have been added to the church, those whose sins have been forgiven, that's who He's going to represent. And trust me, I need His representation. Because without that representation, I have no chance to stand before the judge and say, "I'm fine. I've committed the crime." But with Jesus as my representation, He says, "I'll pay the punishment. I'll pay the fine for these individuals." These individuals who have been added to the church, their sins have been washed away, and it has been forgiven. Do you understand that the church is where individuals have peace? When we're baptized, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, it says we're baptized for remission of sin. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, it says, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Well, we're talking about the peace of God. I don't know how you have the peace with God without remission of sin. And we see that when an individual is baptized, their sins are taken care of, and when those sins are forgiven and they're taken care of, where are we added? We're added to the church. The church is the place of Christians. It's a place of peace. Are you at that spiritual place? The Bible says there's only one way that we can really have reconciliation. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we understand that the blood of Jesus Christ is certainly tied to baptism, but we also know that the blood of Jesus Christ is also tied to His church. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, it says that He purchased the church with His own blood. The blood is connected to the church. The blood is connected to reconciliation. The blood is connected to redemption. The blood is connected to the remission of sin. The place of peace is the church. And we've been added to the church. You have the peace that Jesus was talking about. Have you heard the gospel of peace? In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 through 17, it gives us the idea of unity. It gives us the idea of one body. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 and following, it says, for He Himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in the flesh and the enmity that is the law of the commandments contained in the ordinance, so as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. And that He might reconcile both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death enmity. And He came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near, for through Him we both have access by one Spirit to one Father. There's a whole bunch of ideas there, but certainly we get the idea of one. There's the idea of one. He's trying to reconcile both to God in one body through the cross. Well, what was at the cross? His blood. It's all interconnected. The blood of Jesus Christ, the church of Christ, the forgiveness of sins, they're all connected together. Do you understand that when you're baptized, you're a son or daughter of Christ? In Ephesians, Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, it says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. How do we get into Christ? We're baptized. When are our sins forgiven? When we're baptized. When are we added to the church, the place of peace? When we're baptized. They're all connected. They're all together. We are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on this Christ. Now I want you to take you back to the Sermon on the Mount for a second. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, I maybe want you to think about something a little different. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, we have the Sermon on the Mount. And in that sermon, we have the Son Peacemaker's view. And I want you to think about that in a little different way today. We have the God of peace. We have the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, and certainly we have the place of peace, the church, and we start making all these connections. What does it say in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9? It says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. When are we a son of God? Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. It says that we are sons of God through faith, for as many of you that baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So when we read that in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Do you understand that when you become a Christian, you're a peacemaker? Certainly we want to be a peacemaker with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Certainly we want to be a peacemaker as best we can with the people that are around us. But really, is it not talking about
Christians who have made peace with God, and those Christians who have made peace with God, what should we be carrying to the world? The gospel of peace. And what's the gospel of peace? It's not a message that we're going to solve all the world's problems and bring a physical peace. The gospel of peace is bringing peace with God. Are you a peacemaker?
No.
I'm not saying you're going to solve the world's problems. I'm not saying you're going to solve the world's problems in all those respects. But we can have peace with God, and we can take that message of peace to the world. I really think in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, I don't think it's necessarily talking about calling an argument or being between a union and another group of people and trying to arbitrate. I don't know if that's really what it's about. It says, peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. When we become sons of God, Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27, I think he's looking forward and saying, when you become Christians, you better be peacemakers. And what are you going to take? You're going to take the gospel peace to the world. Not a message of a physical peace, but a message of a spiritual peace with God. What a beautiful message that is. A message of reconciliation. A message of being saved. A message of forgiveness of sins. Do you understand it's your job to be a peacemaker? You're a son or daughter of God. Is it your job to be a peacemaker? Take the gospel of peace to the world? I find it interesting many times that when individuals come to that decision in their lives, when they're thinking about becoming a New Testament Christian, and a lot of people sometimes in the world, when they try to make peace with God, they want to do it on their own terms. It's like they want to walk into the courtroom and they say, hey, I know I've committed a crime and I know I have a fine to pay, but they want to make all the terms and say, I actually want the fine to be reduced to this. And actually, I don't want Jesus to pay my fine this way. I want him to pay my fine this way. You're not in a position to negotiate. When we come in to the gospel of peace and we want to make peace with God, we cannot do it on our own terms. We have to say, God, what is it that you want me to do? And I think we have to get to the place of peace. Where is the place of peace? I believe it to be the church. The church is purchased with his own blood. When we read some of those passages in Romans, it says reconciliation is only possible in a few ways. It's purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, we can have reconciliation. Where do we conduct the blood? It's in baptism. When we are baptized, our sins are washed away. We're added to the church, the place of peace. You have peace with God. Do you understand that that peace can help you in many areas of your life? The world is crazy right now, right? We got things going crazy here. We got things going crazy there. We got things going crazy everywhere. Do you have peace with God? Certainly that can help us as we step throughout our lives. I don't think God promises a peace that's going to solve all the problems in the world. He said, oh, you thought I came to bring peace? I actually came and I'm going to bring division. What peace is he talking about? He's talking about a spiritual peace. A peace with God. Do you have that peace? And will you take that peace to the world? Perhaps you're with us this morning and realize that you have not been baptized for the remission of sin. That you've not been added to the church, the place of peace. Perhaps you understand that. And you know that you need to come to God on His terms. Perhaps you've walked away from the straight and narrow path and you need to come back. We would love to help you in any way this morning if you come as we stand and as we sing.